May the Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the readings of today, I see what I call the cycle of grace. The cycle of grace. And I dedicated this homily, or I am dedicating this homily to one of my professors. He was a Monsignor, and his name is Innocent. Monsignor Innocent Osuagwo taught me way back in the Major Seminary, and he passed last week, yet to be buried. But I'm dedicating this for two things. Number one is that we don't always show appreciation to our teachers. Hello? True or false? Most times what we notice is their mistakes, especially when they are tough. Right? I don't know if you went through Catholic school and you were taught by the nuns. Anybody here who was taught by the nuns, right? What do you always remember? Keeping you straight, right? How they try to keep you straight and how strict they were. Most times these are the kind of thoughts that we remember. Monsignor Innocent was one of those tough teachers. Those tough teachers. But it is mostly after you've passed through those teachers that you look back and notice that they are the ones you remember. Monsignor taught us African philosophy and ecclesiology at some point. But then he had a theory that he developed, which, as I was reflecting on the gospel and the first reading and the second reading of today, it just came in my mind that this is the cycle of grace. He called this theory, theory of construction, deconstruction, and reconstruction. Construction, deconstruction, and reconstruction. And for me, this is the cycle of grace. If you think about what happened in the first reading of today, in the book of Chronicles, When both the priests and the people, when everyone began to live a life of recklessness, say they piled up infidelity upon infidelity, they committed atrocities and became wicked. But it's said in that reading that earlier on that God had already sent messengers ahead of them to warn them. The prophet Jeremiah, if you read chapter 7, chapter 27, you will see how God warned the Israelites of old against such acts. The prophet Micah also in chapter 3 puts it forward. In fact, it began from chapter 2. So the infidelity of the people at the time was very obvious. And they despised the messengers of God, they neglected the word of God, and continued in that act of sin. When does God's act of construction begin in our lives? From the moment of creation, right? The moment of creation is the beginning of the act of constructing our lives. So construction becomes the reign of God's love. God's love infused in our hearts, in our souls. God's love infused on our faces. God's love written on our minds. This is God's construction. And this construction means God inviting you into his love, into his fold. And that is when you begin this journey of salvation. But do we pay attention to God's constructive acts in us? You think about the Tower of Babel, right? The Tower of Babel. Let us be like him. Let us obtain what he has done in us. So we go into that phase of deconstruction. So deconstruction becomes the reign of sin. And what happens? Infidelity, injustice, unfairness, lack of appreciation, ingratitude, man's inhumanity to man. This is what the Israelites did. And the consequence is that they became victims of slavery in Babylon. Suffering, the loss of grace, the construction. The temple of Jerusalem at the time was a manifestation of God's glory. And that temple was seen as an unassailable edifice. So it means that it cannot be destroyed. That's what is in their head. But remember that the presence of the Ark of God's covenant was also the presence of God's glory in their midst. And as they entered into that covenant, the covenant said, I will be your God and you will be my people. But God remained faithful. God remained committed to the terms of the covenant. But were the people faithful? No. And what happened? They became humiliated and were taken into Babylonian captivity. Sorrow, sadness, isolation, despair, regret followed. This characterizes the time of deconstruction in our lives. But God does not still abandon his own people. And then God sent to them the king of Persia, Cyrus, a king who came from the east to save them, still reminding them that God can do anything from anywhere. God can save his people, and that is the process. So the king arose, and this king points also to the messianic era of Christ in the New Testament, coming from the least expected zone in his mission, Nazareth, right? Can anything good come from Nazareth? That is the question, right? Nathaniel asked that question. Nazareth? You mean Nazareth? Come on, Nazareth, right? That come on, Nazareth became the place where the Messiah came. And that is this king of Persia coming from the east to save God's people. And this began the cycle of grace. So construction is the cycle of love, Deconstruction is the cycle, the reign of sin, and then reconstruction is the reign of grace. St. Paul talks about it in the second reading, his letter to the Ephesians. He says, God who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in mercy has made us his handiwork. It's not by our own works that we are saved, but by God's grace, by God's mercy. So it means that we need to recognize the presence of God in our lives. And not just realize that, recognize that God is continuously working to do what? To save us. What happens in the gospel? Nicodemus encounters this in Christ. The question that took Nicodemus to this revelation was, how can I be born again? How can I be born again? Christ opens his eyes and tells him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever is in this process of construction, in this process of reconstruction, whosoever believes in God will not perish, but have eternal life. But that people preferred darkness to the light. People preferred to deconstruct what God has done in them. People preferred the life of wickedness. And we are all witnesses to this in our world today. Wickedness and hatred and animosity and bad talks all over the place. Why? Because we prefer darkness. Because society prefers darkness. Because the culture prefers and promotes darkness to the light of God's grace. But my dear friends, why are we gathered here? We are gathered here because we are God's own handiwork. Work in progress. That is reconstruction. Work in progress means that we are God's handiwork. And as God's handiwork, we are continuously being remodeled into God's grace, into God's mercy, into God's love. So it becomes an opportunity to realize how much God offers himself for us. For God so loved the world. It's one of the most popular passages in the Bible. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. So can you put your name in that world? For God so loved Vincent, right? For God so loved Ron. For God so loved Wayne. For God so loved Michael. Come on. Do you realize how much God loves you? Do you? Hello? Are you awake? If you realize how much God loves you, then you are open to this reconstruction work, constantly making yourself available for God. And there can be no better time than Lent to do this work of reconstruction. Reconstruction for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Reconstruction to get into this light. Reconstruction to get into God's love. Reconstruction to absorb God's mercy. So my dear friends, what is it there for us? Number one, that you are God's temple. You are God's temple. Recognizing how much God cares for you is a good place to start from. If you recognize that, then you realize the great privilege that God has given to you every day. You don't pay for it. So when Paul says it is free, that it's not by work, it's by faith. He's challenging you to realize that everything that you get from God is free of charge. Everything paid upfront for you. So appreciate the grace and walk with this grace. Use this grace. Absorb this grace. Take it in. Soak it in. Ask God each day, open my eyes to your love. Open my eyes to your presence. Open my eyes to your mercy. And help me to be what? Agent of love to others. Number two, the struggle with sin is real and can be overwhelming. So the question is, does it feel like you have deconstructed God's love through any habitual sin that you struggle with? Do you feel like you have been exiled, like the people of Israel, from God's relationship during this time of Lent? creating in you a sense of loss, a sense of isolation, a sense of guilt? Does that make you feel alienated from God's grace? What does that look like for you? Number three, Lent becomes an invitation to the project of reconstruction. There is always hope in Christ Jesus. Perhaps the problem you have is that so far you have a sense of self-dependence rather than dependent on God's grace. So the cycle of grace puts before you the superabundant mercy of God. And that is when Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you, it is the gift of God." Finally, my dear friends, Lent is practical. Lent is not theoretical. Lent is practical. Realize that Lent is practical and do what? Do something for Lent. Do something for your sake. Do something above all for the sake of God's salvation that is before you. That is the work of reconstruction. How about confession? Let's go to confession. Go to confession. Confession is a great place to start from. Maybe you have not gone to confession for the past 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Hello, what are you waiting for? Go to confession. Nobody scares you at confession. At confession, you immerse God's love. That's what you're taking in. You're taking in God's love, God's mercy. We are your friends at the confessional. Priests are your friends. We are your friends because we represent God for you. We bring God's mercy and blessings upon you at the sacrament of confession. And then you can start all over again to take that grace from the blessed Eucharist. Do it this year. Do it this year. Don't keep procrastinating. Do it this year. And tell God, "I need you. I love you. And you love me." Amen.